The ruling forces continue to operate. Well, I think the children are trying to get on with their lives and survive. It's a difficult situation for them because, of course, Coretta died as well.
Part two.
Not long ago.
But. Excuse me, William Pepper from Cynthia McKinney's Midnight Oil about the U.S. murder of Dr. King. Back to the more current horror, although the people that were guilty there continue to walk the streets. That's why Drone Bomber pointed to that murder as to his crimes. And so let's go back to this is actually from the Second Oil War. There was a redirection. It was first called the Salvador Option. It was the arming of these white helmets. Now, on this occasion, I'd like to draw your attention to the finding of Swedish independent human rights activists that analyzed a video of the White Helmet Organization.
Раз привлечь внимание к выводам, к которым пришли шведские независимые правозащитники, которые проанализировали видео, опубликованное этой организацией. В ежемесячном журнале
In the monthly human rights magazine, The Indicator, an article was published that showcases the incredible cynicism and cruelty of these very talented director-producers. Having analyzed recorded situations which supposedly provide emergency aid to children by apparently qualified doctors, they have shown that not only does the said care not conform to any medical standard, but is simply dangerous for human life.
Бесчеловечнее всего то, что среди кадров на видео есть случаи.
Most cruel of all, as per the authors of this article, is that in one of the videos, a child that is brought in is pretty much murdered under the camera lights.
Когда ребенка, как об этом пишут авторы публикации, в буквальном смысле под светом софитов просто преднамеренно убивают. Ребенку не более года.
The child was not much older than one, eyes half open. He could not move, but he was alive.
Глаза полуоткрыты, он обездвижен, но жив. В этот момент в область сердца ему делают укол. По словам квалифицированных медицинских специалистов,
at this moment he receives an injection into the area of the heart. According to experts, such an injection to a child,
примечательно, что некоторые западные и региональные политики по словам,
injection in the area of the heart, according to experts, would not the child that is not yet dead would most likely kill him. It is notable that many a Western politician with tears in their eyes prefer to use white helmet production as the undeniable truth of the crimes of the Syrian regime. It is to be expected we will not hear anything from them in relation to the findings of the Swedish Indicator, just as we will not in relation to the civilian casualties in the unfortunate attempt of the Western coalition to retake Mosul.
Все это, конечно, звенья одной цепи пропагандистского.
All of this is part of a one-chain propaganda for the failed policies of our Western colleagues in the Middle East.
Провальные политики наших зарубежных коллег.
March 6 through 17, 2017, The Indicator magazine, independent HR review issued by Swedish Doctors of Human Rights, published an article series analyzing White Helmet's video aimed to represent Professor Marcelo Ferrara at Denali summarized the main conclusion of the base of opinions issued by medical doctors. Life-saving procedures on the children shown in the White Helmet videos were found to be fake and ultimately harmful to the children. Find the articles at theindicator.com. We denounce war crimes, human rights abuses, and state assaults to privacy and civil liberties. That's the indicator. Okay, children murdered for propaganda videos. Let me back up and read the article. President Trump is now threatening to take America into war against Syria, Iran, and even Russia. A war, he says, is justified by evidence he has received from Syrian white helmets.
we will prove beyond a doubt that this is a deep state organization, a melding of CIA, Al-Qaeda, and British intelligence services. We now have slam dunk proof that Trump and the fake news MSM are and always have been in lockstep, playing us all. Actor George Clooney knew that the organization Swedish Doctors for Human Rights had cited the White Helmets as child killers when he produced the Oscar-winning propaganda video that may well have led to this latest outrage. The organization SWEDHR is very real. Their word authoritative and their indictment of the White Helmets for killing children in order to stage propaganda videos would have been known to Clooney and Netflix. They went ahead anyway. Why? Moreover, Google itself is involved at war with this group and others, censoring them from their search engines. The information here will be new to Americans. Please note that at no time has the White House or any Western media acknowledged the controversy regarding the White Helmets, which we allege is part of Al-Qaeda propaganda operations, nor is any mention of the dozens of proven gas attacks by FSA, ISIS, and Al-Nusra, which are suddenly forgotten as though by magic. The White Helmets, supposedly an independent NGO, receive up to $100 million from CIA and UK Foreign Office Dark Project funding. Murdering children is their stock and trade, as we will prove. Sharing headquarters with Turkish intelligence, G-A-Z-I-A-N-T-E-P, Gaziantep, Turkey. This organization is far more death squad than civil defense. Please review the included videos. Children murdered for propaganda. Swedish Doctors for Human Rights, SWEDHR.org. Analyze the videos. The rescue after an alleged attack by Syrian government forces. The doctors found the videos were counterfeit, where even Arab stage directions were overheard, and that the alleged rescue in actuality is a murder. On first analysis, it looked as though the doctors working on the child assumed he was already dead. However, after broader investigation, ascertained that the boy was unconscious from an overdose of opiates. The video shows the child receiving injections in his chest, perhaps in the area of the heart, and was eventually killed while a clearly fake adrenaline injection was administered. This was a murder. The doctors determined in this analysis. The video should be life-saving measures after a chemical attack with chlorine gas, now claimed to be sarin, not possible, including injection of adrenaline via syringe with a long needle into the heart of an infant. In no way were treatments given correct for any potential chemical agent. The handling and treatment of the child was done in a manner that was careless, dangerous, and likely to cause serious harm. Most telling is the fake repeated shots of adrenaline, supposedly into the heart. The medical personnel, and I think we can safely call them actors at this point, failed to push the plunger on the needle. Thus, the contents of the syringe were never injected, as is clearly visible in the video itself. The visible diagnosis by a team of actual medical experts based on what is observed in the video indicates that the child was suffering from an injection of opiates and was likely dying of an overdose. There is no evidence of any other agent, chemical or otherwise. None of the children in the video showed any signs of being a victim of a chemical attack from an earlier video by the White Helmets. It was clear that the faked injection with a long needle administered through the stitches murdered the child in the video. This was a purposeful killing staged to appear as medical treatment. Behind the fake translation of the videos, the actual Arabic included stage direction for positioning the child for the video, not for medical treatment. The White Helmets,
also known as Syrian Civil Defense, claimed to be an impartial non-government organization campaigning for Syrians. But despite the name, the White Helmets was not created by Syrians, nor does it serve Syria. Meet James LeMessurier, a consultant for the UK Foreign and Commonwealth Office and former British Army officer. So what is a non-Syrian British foreign policy consultant doing establishing a NGO in a foreign country? Does James really have the Syrian people's best interests at heart? If so, why do the White Helmets operate solely in terrorist-held areas? Why has the White Helmets constantly called for the implementation of a NATO-imposed no-fly zone? The same kind of no-fly zone that has destroyed Libya for decades. A no-fly zone in Syria would only benefit those who seek regime change and ultimately hurt the Syrians who are already targeted by illegal sanctions. The fact is, the White Helmets are nothing but a propaganda tool for the US and UK administrations to justify military action against the Syrian government. But the White Helmets insist on being impartial and unarmed, yet here is some footage that says otherwise. Here's where it gets interesting. Meet Raad Saleh. He currently leads the White Helmets inside Syria. He was set to accept an award from Interaction, an alliance of international aid agencies, but was refused entry into the US due to his visa being cancelled for unknown reasons. 27th of April 2016, US Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner was confronted by journalist Matt Lee about the White House's inconsistency regarding the White Helmets.
You commend this group. You're going to continue to support them, and yet you revoked the visa of their leader. I don't. That makes zero sense to me.
Well,
what's exactly?
And then, when asked who funded and supported the White Helmets, Mark replies,
"Well, I can tell you that we provide through USAID about $23 million in assistance to them.
$23 million. Wait a second. Are the White Helmets not? And I quote." Fiercely independent and accepts no money from governments? So we have seen a group who is clearly not Syrian, not impartial and not independent, who are armed and are most certainly sectarian. Maybe the White Helmets were set up to facilitate executions like this one. The brave, impartial White Helmets arrive at the scene within seconds of the execution, as if they were on standby, ready to collect the body. The White Helmets. An NGO, or simply Al-Qaeda with a facelift?
The Swedish Medical Association says White Helmets murdered kids for fake gas. The videos were on the White Helmet channel, Syrian Civil Defense in Idlib province, uploaded. The videos were produced by the White Helmets together with the organization Coordinating Sarmin, their logo, a black jihadist flag, Al-Qaeda. In the video are also White Helmets to see. The chairman of the association, Professor Marcelo Ferrada de Noli, published at the beginning of March 2017. The first article was an analysis of the case. Swedish Doctors for Human Rights, White Helmets video, macabre manipulation of dead children, and staged chemical weapons attack to justify a no-fly zone in Syria. This was followed by more macabre discoveries in the video, not seen initially in the article, White Helmets. Movie updated evidence from Swedish doctors confirmed fake life-saving practices injured children. The collective findings of the Swedish doctors, SWEDHR, with regard to the propaganda and fakery by Al-Qaeda in Syria, Al-Nusra, are in line with the findings of leading German and international scientists for White Helmet video with fake life-saving procedures, blah, blah, blah. This is 3 minutes, so into the video. I gotta read this. This sequence is from a video published by White Helmets on YouTube, whose scenes would represent life-saving procedures after an alleged attack. Simply, the doctor never pumped the piston of the syringe during the intracardiac injection episode. Radio, except the DJ is sparing you the video, but of course that's inevitable with the radio. So, a Swedish professor and doctor for human rights, an independent. Oh, this is a talking head, so it's none of the gruesome stuff up above on the page. UK column news.
So, I'd like to welcome Professor Marcello Paradinoli to the program from Swedish Doctors for Human Rights. Thank you very much for joining us, Marcello.
Thank you.
Just before we get into the main questions, just give us a little bit of background into yourself and what your activities are with regards to human rights.
Well, at the moment, I am the chairman of the Swedish Doctors for Human Rights, which is an organization we founded for about 3 years ago in Sweden. And we also have... started a magazine online called The Indictor, where we publish our analysis. And also we have another publication, which is called The Swedish Doctor for Human Rights Research and Reports. There we also publish analysis related to these issues.
What we want to discuss today is this article that you've published on the Indictor website. The headline is Swedish Doctors for Human Rights Denounce White Helmet's Video, Macabre Manipulation of Dead Children and Staged Chemical Weapons Attack to Facilitate a No-Fly Zone in Syria. Now, just before we get on to the details of this, the first thing I'd like to ask you is, how did you first hear about the White Helmets? What led you to write the first article questioning their credibility?
It was in social media when I read the first reports on the activities of this organization. But then I had to do some research around this organization when it was announced in Sweden that an institution which is financed by governmental funds nominated and subsequently granted the White Helmets a prize, which is known as the Alternative Nobel Prize in Sweden. Doing research for that article, then I found the work by Vanessa Bailey, astounding work, which gave me further information about the background of that organization and the context in which they are operating.
What extent do you believe the White Helmets have been pivotal, shall we say, in prolonging the war in Syria?
I wouldn't say pivotal, but indeed they are a contributing factor in prolonging this conflict, because they have been used to show that activities in the zone require more and more efforts from the part of the U.S.-led alliance there, and fundamentally by the rebel groups that they are supported, financed, armed, and trained by Western countries, trying to influence in the area. My understanding is that the White Helmets function like partners and alibi for what is going on there. And then as long as their existence is put forward by the media, by the Western media, then the public will continue having that idea of that notion of atrocities that the same sources, the same powers that finance the white helmets are trying to give to the public. So it's like a symbiosis. The existence of the white helmets contribute to give that false notion and ergo to continue the conflict.
Thank you very much for that. Well, look, let's look in some detail at the at your concerns about the event itself. If you could just give us some observations and what you think, what you believe is malpractice and the misuse of children, perhaps for propaganda purposes. Now, I don't really want, we're not going to show the video. The video is, or at least sections of the video are linked from your article on the Indictor if anybody wants to look at that. But what I do want to do is just show a couple of stills from the video. And so just want to give a little bit of a warning for anybody that is sensitive to this sort of thing, that these images aren't necessarily the most pleasant. But Marcello, what was it that really gave you concern about the practices that were going on during this video?
Well, I can tell you how did I get to know that video. It was a recent report by Human Rights Watch for 2 weeks before, or 2 weeks before that the Oscar award was bestowed to that film about the white helmets. And then in that publication from Human Rights Watch, which was undoubtedly supporting the claims done by the organization White Helmets, it was linked, because it was in a retrospective presentation of claims done against the Syrian government. There was linked this information about them allegedly conducted gas attack in Sarmin in Syria. So I went to study that, and then in research around that item, I found the video uploaded by the White Helmets in YouTube. I reacted immediately because of the obvious defective or flawed practices they were exercising upon the patients or even dead children that were in that room. And then I contacted my colleagues in the Swedish Doctor of Human Rights, and we have some specialists in pediatrics and good clinicians, if I may say so, with vast knowledge and experience on these things. So I asked them to submit some statements with regard to these events shown in the video. And those are the base of my article, which, on behalf of the board of the Swedish Doctor of Human Rights, I published in the Indictor.
We've shown a couple of stills from this, but this has got to be the most horrendous section of the video, where this child is having a needle placed in their chest, and quite unpleasant use of that needle following its insertion. I mean, that particularly stood out for me. But even just the fact that children being placed on top of what appeared to be dead adults in the field hospital, and also the way that CPR was being delivered in some of these. Now, I'm not qualified, so I can't really comment on it, but it didn't look correct to me, and particularly this procedure did not look correct. And so, you know, to have a group of doctors look at this and give their assessment is quite powerful. But I mean, what are your comments on what you saw from a medical standpoint?
Well, I would like to comment that the sequences you are showing, there we have according to the statements of our doctors, we have a case of improper administration of intracranial injection, because in terms of life-saving procedures at that stage, CPR has to be administrated first, and then the injection with adrenaline, and then immediately thereafter another CPR has to be exercised there with the patient. So those things are not observed in the sequence shown in the video. And the doctor reporting that, which is a colleague with name Lena Oske, she even hypothesized that if the child was not already dead, then he might have been threatened to life because of that wrong procedure. As a matter of fact, in another video uploaded by the same organization, which, if my translation is correct, they call themselves the civil defense, Syrian civil defense of the region. So in another video, I saw that the same child coming into a room in the arms of one of those so-called rescue workers, and then he was still alive.
So he has passed away while in their care, is that what you believe?
I think that anyone that is able to look at the videos uploaded, there are two main videos uploaded by the White Helmets on the 16th of March 2015, could get their own conclusions about that. They're, for me, very obvious.
Where do you believe this leaves the credibility of NATO and Western governments that are promoting the White Helmets so strongly? And for that matter, media organizations, because, of course, this particular video, although they didn't show some of the more difficult sections to watch, Channel 4 News in Britain absolutely used sections of this video in some of their reporting. So where do you think this leaves the credibility of organizations that are promoting the work of the White Helmets?
Well, this is a process going on in the last years with regard to the information spread by the mainstream media.
Closer to the truth of what is really happening in Syria.
Who has chemical weapons? Who's using them?
You want to hear that again? Who's got chemical weapons?
Who has chemical weapons? Who's using them?
Who has chemical weapons and who's using them? That's a great question. I wonder...
This is a Richie Allen show. These are the Bomb Assad gang saying... He's quoting.
I am occasionally prone to repeating myself. I'm well aware of it. And I'm self-deprecating enough that I acknowledge I do from time to time repeat myself. And I do always say this to you. I always say that I thought I'd heard everything until today. And like the last time I said it, this time I mean it as well. I continue to be staggered, to be shocked by the conduct of national radio and television presenters and the content of their programs. You're naive, you cry. Well, no, I'm not. I know what the media is there to do. But the media, for most of the time, does at least attempt to hide what it does and present it in a way where it isn't so obvious to, you know, men and women like you and I. You and me. Now, Nicky Campbell is a former Radio 1 DJ, former game show presenter, and now he's the long-time co-anchor of BBC Radio 5 Breakfast. Nicky has turned into a shameless warmonger and cheerleader for the UK to take military action in Syria. He really has. More on him in a minute and what he's been doing. Nikki Campbell was all over the comments made last night by US President Donald Trump. You might have heard Rebecca Foster in the news at the top of the hour. Rebecca said that Trump has summoned his Secretary of Defense and other experts to put some military options on the table for Syria. Now, in case you missed it, this was what Trump said yesterday. Have a listen to this.
A chemical attack that was so horrific in Syria against innocent people, including women, small children, and even beautiful little babies. Their deaths was an affront to humanity. These heinous actions by the Assad regime cannot be tolerated. The United States stands with our allies across the globe to condemn this horrific attack and all other horrific attacks for that matter.
Right. So that was Trump. He said there would be a response, and I must repeat, he summoned the Secretary of Defense and other military experts to discuss a military option. Think about that tonight when this program is over and you pour yourself a glass of wine or you have a beer, or if that's not your poison, you have a cup of cocoa. Think about going to your bed with your husband, wife, your partner, or your dog or your cat, and think about the fact that you don't have to worry about planes zooming over your house and your neighborhood, dropping bombs on you, your family, and your friends. Think about that. So that was a big breakfast issue today and all day. Trump and what he said. They were foaming at the mouth, the news anchors. It was excited chatter all day. We might get a war out of this. Now, BBC Radio 5 Live did something extraordinary, and as far as I'm concerned, unprecedented. They offered an interview to somebody called Mesa Gifford. Not his real name, said Nikki Campbell. Mesa Gifford, not his real name, but he's an expert. Why? Well, we were told he fought against ISIS with the YPG Kurds. Imagine that.
Now, the YPG are the guys that dropped their guns and let the Yazidis be mass murdered. The
oh, my God.
The PKK are the ones that gave their lives to save the Yazidis.
You really need to hear this. This is Nikki Campbell with Mesa Gifford talking about solutions.
But back a second. Just to keep the alphabet soup out of it, Erdogan's Barzani gang are the punks that gave surrendered the Yazidis to genocide. Okay, they aren't the Marxists that Erdogan is waging war on. Now, his son Bilal is buying that raped oil along with Tillerson's Exxon. So you see what's going on here.
What's been going on? Have a listen to this.
It's perplexing this as to what else you can do to get rid of him. And clearly, we need to get rid of him, don't we?
Yeah, well, I think nothing should be off the table. And
Russia's going to scupper any of this.
Sure, and they have been vetoing much of the proposals put forward by the UN, and they are determinedly, doggedly standing behind him. However, Russia is actually, I think you've hit the nail on the head here, Russia is quite key to all this. Assad exists today only because of Russian intervention. The rebels were knocking on Damascus's door as recently as sort of 6 months ago, 6-12 months ago. So if we were to go to the Russians, negotiate with them, talk to them about securing their interest in the region and their interest in the country, and actually coming up with a peace process and a proposal that's going to give Assad's the Alawite community and other groups that support Assad the rights that they desire and the protection that they crave within the society, but also all the other minorities, the Christians, the Kurds, the Yazidis, the Arabs, all of them together. So, but that's only going to happen is if we show a unified front.
Do you think we should offer him immunity from prosecution?
I do, actually, yes.
He's a war criminal.
at the end of the day, the long-term interest of the country is far more important. If Assad disappears tomorrow to a yacht or to a multi-million pound house in Lebanon or any other place, I would actually wipe my hands of it and say that it was a job well done.
Mm. So what the guy Mainsby Gifford is talking about is an agreement with Russia to partition Syria after Assad leaves so that Russia's interests are preserved. They wouldn't be, of course. But that's the big con. Say to Russia, well, he has to go. We need to break up the country, but we can arrange it in our image where everybody has equal rights and Assad could leave with immunity. He's very well spoken, isn't he? This fictional man, Mainsby Gifford, who fought alongside the Kurdish YPG against ISIS. Very well informed and very articulate for a grunt. Who is he? How did he get on the BBC? And why is Nicky Campbell in breach of his contract with the BBC?
What else you can do to get rid of him? Hello, and clearly, we need to get considered.
I'm Peter Lavelle. The White Helmets, a heartfelt humanitarian NGO, or an elaborate and cynical Western PR stunt promoting illegal regime change in Syria? Does the wearing of white helmets mean they're the good guys support?
Very interesting. 4 weeks in Syria.
Exclusively in what one might call rebel-held areas, but in reality are terrorist-held.
Thank you. Anyway, that was Nassel, the Poppy Bush's Mina Argistan Coke stand attendant, Clinton Death Squad representative. So I've already seen that. Let me go back to the Swedish medical guy. Because this is recent this week.
You formed part of the report that the White Helmets delivered to in a room in a closed door meeting organized by Samantha Powers in 2015, and then we had reports after that meeting about this. Setting, and no one was questioning that. But then we have, as I said to you, as you know that very well, we have this social media development as an alternative to the mainstream media. And so the things are getting more and more spread and contributing to heightened consciousness among the public. So we are in that process now. In which fake news are counter-arrested by information, verifiable information posted in the social media. That's one thing. But on the other thing, you have to observe that officially, White Helmet still is getting credit by governmental institutions like the one I was mentioning in Sweden, providing them or granting them the alternative Nobel Prize. We have the Hollywood thing there, giving them not that to them, but to the documentary who was referred to their work, and so on and so forth. So, paradoxically, all those endeavors in which the power elite in the Western countries, paradoxically, I said, they are giving also them the effect, a discredit effect, since if they are sponsoring, supporting this kind of organization that undoubtedly are doing the work which is highly criticized from the point of view of ethics and menacing and even genuine, real saving life practices, then, as I said, it's like a boomerang going back to these governments and the media and their support and or finance.
The video is horrendous, and as I say, it is a particular note in this country because it was used by Channel 4 News.
The video does not show any evidence or testimony of any attack. This is one of the most peculiar aspects in this episode, because what the Human Rights Watch is saying about the attack that would have been produced in March 2015 is that the two witnesses heard, not seen, heard one helicopter. And then they heard there were no explosions, nothing. And one of the anonymous witnesses, which is reported, turned out to be a functionary of the White Helmets. So yes. He was provided information. And the peculiar thing that has to be observed here is that the cameraman or the team who was doing the recording in the emergency room, they did not record anything outside the room or any exterior about referring to the attack itself, if that was true. So that is one question that this outlet that you are referring here, they could have investigated or tried to confirm. And
well, indeed, so but they could also even have asked for professional medical opinion, which they don't seem to have done.
No, it seems that they have not done that, but even more, it seems that they did not even care to provide themselves with the translation of what of the audio of the videos of what the medics there and the White Helmets personnel there was saying to each other. For instance, in the translation I could receive, it's clear that I don't know if it's a medic or a doctor. He's instructing the others to staple the shielding on top of the woman who, the fat woman there shown in the video.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us, Professor Marcello Ferrata Dell'Oli. If people want to see what you are producing, please go and have a look at the Indictor magazine. You're also on Twitter. Any other way to contact you?
Well, in the article that you just shown, there are contact information where anyone interested could mail me or for that part, any other member of our editorial board, which are for the most part doctors. And on Twitter, of course, Professor's Blog, it's the name of my account on Twitter.
Now, SWEDHR, Swedish Human Rights, is a team formed with the participation of a number of Swedish professors, PhD, medical doctors, university researchers, in the medical sciences and health-related disciplines. This participation is... Now, something I should turn down. Maybe it's that sound of the...
Turn down for what?
That's a mic. Turn the mic down. Okay, turn the mic down. Better. Okay. I am formed by participants in Sweden, follows the United Nations Doctrine on Human Rights and Ethical Norms, according to the World Medical Association's Ethical Declaration of Helsinki. Read on our organization's aims and rationale for its foundations as Swedish manifest. At difference with other organizations of this type in Sweden, A, do not administer funds of any kind. B, it do not hold neither as economic sponsorship for any government, corporate, or private institution, or do not collect fees. Or women supporters. It did not campaign on economic-related issues associated with our HR endeavors. We also believe that abstaining from the aforementioned possibility of external contribution is one way of maintaining absolute independence of credibility regarding unbiased reporting of HR issues. Sweet HR is open for the altruistic participation of any interested doctor sharing the aforementioned research interest. Now, of course, DJ Mouse is not a doctor. I did not have the cash to become one, even though I got 90th percentile on the medical college admission test. I would have been a doctor in Syria. I would have been a doctor in Iraq. I would have been a doctor in Libya. But where you bayonet my stunt double, this is no longer a socialist. It is a jihadi, tech-fury, child-raping, medieval shit-hook hell because of the dirty, skanky-yanky slime buckets. Misbegotten spawn, the pirates of the Thames of Potomac, but let me go to somebody a little closer to the scene. and it's AQ White Helmet Murders. Ricky, excuse me, I'm going to bump
Trump
up the
murdered
girl.
Our troops, who have been fighting ISIS for years.
Yeah.
Trump murdered our troops, who have been fighting ISIS for years.
Okay.
That airbase was being used to defend the entire region from terrorists. Now a Christian town near Hama might fall to ISIS, who are preparing a major offensive, and we have no air force in the region to stop them. Al-Qaeda and John McCain are cheering the airstrikes and Trump right now. Trump went from saying Hillary Clinton created ISIS to now following her orders. She also happens to be the one who gave the rebels the sarin gas to begin with. No one elected her, but she told Trump to attack the Syrian air bases, and he did. As I've said in previous videos, Hillary has been calling for the attack of Syrian air bases for years. So if you think this is about chemical weapons or the fact that chemical weapons may have been launched from there, you're an imbecile.
Yeah, but killing for Al-Qaeda in Syria? Now, my Tyrannosaurus in the flyer I put up at 5300 Port Chicago Highway yesterday is saying with !! as the pig USA with a star on is holding the string with the jet, dropping bombs on Syria. And the Tyrannosaurus is saying, what kind of prehistoric monsters are we? And the flyer says, meet Monday, April 17, 2017, 9 a.m. at Trax, 5300 Port Chicago Highway, where I put this flyer up yesterday on the telephone pole and where I live for decades after they chopped my friend Brian Wilson into pieces because he did not want to go along with the death squad rampaging through Central America on the government side in El Salvador, overthrowing the government side in Nicaragua, and overthrowing the government side in Libya and Syria with the same tech fury shit hooks. Anyway, we're going to block weapons to them next Monday, and you can email me gregfromtrax@gmail.com because that is where I come from.
This airbase gambit has existed for years, and remember when Deir Ez-Zor airbase was attacked by the U.S. to help out ISIS, who was launching an offensive against it as well, and the U.S. claimed that that was an accident? Safe zones, no-fly zones, it's all different names for balkanization, divide and conquer. They can't divide Syria while Syria still has an air force, because they need Al-Qaeda to be able to ethnically cleanse the minorities in order to drive them into designated regions. Why? Because Israel wants this. Right now, Israel are threatening Syria with war after spending years providing medical aid to Al-Qaeda. Syria recently shot down an Israeli jet trying to bomb the inside of Syria. Israel has always been a part of this war, because Israel wants Syrian land. Is it worth dragging the US into World War III and spreading terrorism throughout the world? The deep state thinks so. The ex-CIA director Woosley just advised Trump that he has to attack Syria and Iran at the same time. The US ambassador to the UN also threatened to strike North Korea. The deep state know that if you're going for a global war, you have to strike at multiple fronts at the same time. Anyone thinking this is just one strike and it's all going to blow over and nothing's going to happen is entirely naive. This is the calm before the storm. Russia has just announced that it will be sending more troops into Syria and that they are no longer avoiding shooting down US aircrafts with the Friendly Fire Treaty. Trump will attack Syria again, you can definitely bet on it, and this will escalate, and will end up in total annihilation. This is the opposite of what Trump supporters voted for, and I know so many of you are angry after working so hard to get him into power. And I too believed that he would be at least a little bit better than Hillary, and maybe that remains to be true, because at least he can be held accountable for the false promises and statements that he made.
Democratic darling, she went, took this secret trip to Syria. So now after this latest attack, she is tweeting out saying, you know, anyone who's responsible must be held accountable, whether it be Assad or ISIS or Al-Qaeda or anyone who is in that area who is going to have access to chemical weapons.
There's no proof that this was done by the Syrian government. So we had this discussion before, and the thing that concerns me, and as we're talking about essentially the civil war that's going on in the White House, which they say is not happening, but we can see the signs of this. We know that there are different advisor groups there. This really does have consequences. They had to get rid of General Flynn, who had explained to everybody, who understood that we had created armed and trained ISIS, that we were funding them for regime change. We've seen this happen, the disasters that have happened in Libya, creating more problems than they've solved, solving absolutely nothing. But let's go to Syrian Girl now. Syrian Girl, tell us what you're, from your perspective, what you're seeing there with this false narrative.
Last time in 2013, I actually told Alex Jones that this false flag attack would result not in an invasion of Syria, but basically disarmament.
Pedro lives out of the Wilshire Hotel. He looks out a window without glass. The walls are made of cardboard. Newspapers on his feet, and his father beats him because he's too tired to beg. He's got 9 brothers and sisters. They're brought up on their knees. It's hard to run when a coat hanger beats you on the thighs. Pedro dreams of being older and killing the old man, but that's a slim chance. He's going to the boulevard. He's gonna end up on the dirty boulevard. He's going out to the dirty boulevard. He's going down to the dirty boulevard. This room costs $2,000 a month. You can believe it, man, it's true. Somewhere a landlord's laughing till he wets his pants. No one dreams of being a doctor or a lawyer or anything. They dream of dealing on the dirty boulevard. Give me your hungry, your tired, your poor, I'll piss on them. That's what the statue of bigotry says. Your poor huddled masses, let's club them to death and get it over with and just dump them on the boulevard. Get them out on the dirty boulevard. Going out to the dirty boulevard. They're going down on the dirty boulevard. Going out. It's a bright night, there's an opera at Lincoln Center. Movie stars arrive by limousine. The Klieg lights shoot up over the skyline of Manhattan, but the lights are out on the mean streets. A small kid stands by the Lincoln Tunnel. He's selling plastic roses for a party. The traffic's backed up to 39th Street. The TV whores are calling the cops out for a suck. And back at the wheelchair, Pedro sits there dreaming. He's found a book on magic in a garbage can. He looks at the pictures and stares up at the cracked ceiling. At the count of three, he says, I hope I can disappear. And fly, fly away from this dirty boulevard. I want to fly, yeah. From the dirty boulevard, I want to fly. From the dirty boulevard, I want to fly, 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 fly. From the dirty boulevard, I wanna fly away. I wanna fly. Fly, fly away, yeah. I wanna fly. Fly, fly away.
Fly, fly, fly away.
Fly, fly, fly,
fly, fly, fly,
fly away. Fly, fly away.
Fly, fly.
Oh no, it's the cop, the hooker's calling the cops out for a suck. That's gonna get segued in some upcoming show when I sample that and talk about the, local OPD scene with all of that,
you
but.
You never talk about the local scene.
On the subject of flying away, there was a recent, let Broken Rainbow, speak for self.
Land is the center of life to Native people. Most of our land has been taken, and few of our people remain.
In 1974, Congress passed a law ordering 10,000 Navajo off their land. Land, the government says, belongs to the Hopi tribe. Congress has ordered the Navajo to move by 1986, despite the protests of the traditional Hopi and Navajo people.
Chairman, I'm here today to discuss the tragedy of relocating over 9,000 of my tribal people from their native homeland. More than 75% of the Navajo relocatees will be condemned to a life of misery, poverty, and alienation.
Just how would you have any income if you're forced to move?
Beautiful, loving family. Ever since my mother died, I had a dream about my mother being with me at home. And I always dream about the cattle.
This land dispute did a lot of damage to me and my family. Because, you know, we've been cheated. We've been lied to. We've been called names. I get sick. I can't sleep at night. So I'm on my own now.
And I have a new dream right now. The government took it away.
The Diné people were forced to go to Fort Sumner. Washington said there won't be any more wars. These arms we will lay down. Then there was a world war. He asked for our children. Some of them never returned. So Washington broke that treaty. The Hopi and my late husband were good friends. We lived in harmony. Washington came and ruined it for us. He broke the law, and now he's demanding the land. Right now, police are hauling guns at Black Mesa and Big Mountain. Doesn't this Washington ever wake up?
The politicians refused to repeal the law. They allowed relocation to continue.
The white man does not understand the Indian for the reason that he does not understand America. The man from Europe is still a foreigner and an alien. But in the Indian, the spirit of the land is still vested. Man must be born and reborn to belong. Their bodies must be formed of the dust of their forefathers' bones.
My roots is way down deep. It can't be pulled out. My great-great-grandmother is buried there, and grandmother and my mother, my father and brothers, and even my children, they're just buried just among where I am. So I just not able to leave anywhere. I'm just going to remain. My father, he says, he used to say that he's part Hopi. And so I'm part Hopi myself. It's all mixed blood, so you can't divide the blood by fencing.
Unless the Navajo voluntarily leave the land, force may be used to remove them.
People of the earth tell stories. An old woman of the old ways, she said, I
that's the end of Broken Rainbow. You heard Catherine Smith a bit in there, and you saw her digging up the fence post. She was acquitted and was, after marching the feds off her land, taking their guns and keys. How beautiful is that? But back to endless bad news and horror.
It was before.
Not that the relocation is not all that, but
Putin even said anything about disarmament. And the reason I know that is because I know that the U.S. would never invade a nation that they know possesses chemical weapons or any sort of weapon of mass destruction.
And I'm getting back to Syrian Girl, but when, of course, she mentioned that that racist gun-clutching little dick, I had to segue to Dirty Boulevard, but back to Syrian Girl, not these, info fart crap media.
And they had to remove those weapons in order to enter the Syrian sphere. And that is exactly what I said would happen, that a few years down the line, they would come back and claim that Syria didn't, in fact, get rid of its chemical weapons, and they would use it as a causes belli to invade.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that happen with Iraq. It's exactly the same thing. In 1991, Iraq got rid of its chemical weapons. In 2003, in spite of the OPCW saying that Iraq no longer has chemical weapons, the Iraq war still happened. And we end up with ISIS. We end up with terrorism around the world. We end up with chaos. And we end up on the brink of World War III.
Well, it's the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. This is a organization that is tasked by the Security Council of the UN to go around and examine whether or not these people had these weapons. And as this happened, the response from the Russian spokesman, Zakharova, said it is crucial to call upon an OPCW fact-finding mission in charge of investigating the use of chemical weapons in Syria to collect evidence of the incident after the following condition. Composition of the fact-finding mission will be submitted to the UN Security Council for approval. It will be balanced in terms of geographical representation. So if we're going to go to war, if we're going to set the area on fire, if we're going to escalate this, can't we at least have a reasonable investigation and hope that there are going to be people from both sides taking a look at this and presenting forensic evidence before we just run off half-cocked and start shooting the world up.
Well, wait a minute, David. Turkey has done 3 autopsies on some of the victims, and they say sarin gas was used by Assad. So I'm sure Turkey is completely non-biased here, and they went in and they did autopsies here on 3 of the people killed. So let's just go ahead and take Erdogan. I'm sure these were not the chemical weapons that passed through Turkey via Saudi Arabia.
Do you want to comment on that Syrian girl? I mean, the responses that I've seen from that is that if it's weaponized, that they would need to have full hazmat materials or they would die from that if it's fully weaponized as you would expect a state to be using. So,
I completely agree with you. If it was sarin, it would have been homemade. Everyone has seen the photos and the videos of the white helmets using their bare hands. Sarin can be absorbed through the skin, and it will kill you. Weaponized sarin will kill thousands. The Tokyo sarin attack resulted in 12 dead, but 4,000 injuries, and that was homemade sarin alone. If it was weaponized sarin, we would be looking at a completely different scenario. Mm. Obviously, it's very interesting that Turkey would come out and say that it is, in fact, sarin, because we've seen the narrative shift so many different times. At first, they said it was sarin. Then they said it was chlorine. They can't quite decide on the narrative, because if they say it's sarin, people then say, well, Syria got rid of its sarin, so how could it be Syrian sarin? So then it comes back to the fact that there's been multiple reports that the rebels have chemical weapons, that they have sarin, that Hillary Clinton brought Libya's chemical weapons to the Syrian rebels. This is a Seymour Hersh article. And in fact, the United Nations said that they suspected the attack that happened in 2013 was behind what the rebels were behind. This was Carle Del Ponte. You can also look that up. So yeah, we have a lot of evidence that this is a false flag. In fact, more evidence than last time. Last time it was very well timed, because the OPCW had arrived in Damascus the same exact day as the chemical attack happened. And that was because they were brought to Damascus by the Syrian government to investigate a chemical attack that was conducted by the rebels in Aleppo a month earlier. And now we have also, again, perfect timing. Trump says Assad is no longer a priority. The next day, you know, 2 days later, you get this false flag attack, and suddenly Trump is changing his tune.
That's right, because we have different advisors in place.
Exactly. And Michael Flynn, he was one of the advisors that said that he believed possibly the rebel attack in 2013 was because was a false flag. And maybe that's one of the reasons he was removed.
Yeah.
I do want to get into 2 things. I want to get into a little bit about the evidence and a lot about the real agenda behind this and what we're going to see, mm-hmm. if possible.
Yeah, let's talk about the false flag aspect. But before we leave the Michael Flynn thing, it's very clear that not only did they want Michael Flynn removed, but they have tried to purge people that he brought in. The CIA made it very clear. We've had a lot of media reporting, both for and against Trump, reporting that the CIA has said that these individuals that Flynn brought in were unacceptable to them. Mm. Why? Because they want to do this false flag. So let's talk about the evidence that this particular attack was a false flag.
Well, you know, putting aside the perfect timing that mm-hmm. this happened, where the, you know, State Department just made a statement that they no longer see removing Assad as a priority, and that the Syrian people must decide their own president, aside from that, a lot of the reports are coming from the so-called White Helmets NGO, mm-hmm. which is George Soros-funded. It's receiving UK and US tax dollars. And they've been filmed carrying Al-Qaeda flags around, taking part in executions.
You see, as we are being jackhammered both inside and out by this gas attack, we must attack because of the gas attack bullshit. I just forgot what I was going to say. I got it back to Syria Girl until I remember.
So the Nur al-Zinki group, one of the rebel groups that the CIA vetted and gave weapons to, which ended up beheading a child, Channel 4 News featured a video of those child beheaders hanging out with the white helmets. One of my channels, Syrian Girl War, have a video of 2 white helmet members torturing a Syrian soldier. Like, the white helmets, as we now know very clearly, are the same individuals that are with Al-Qaeda, they just put on a white helmet and suddenly they're no longer Al-Qaeda. And prior to this attack, a week before, in a Christian town in Hama, near Hama, there were actually 250 people that were kidnapped. So it's very clear that these rebels do not care about civilians and they do not care about children. They behead children, so why would they care? And in the past, they've used children as tools, pawns for this political agenda.
There was a Pakistani British doctor who tweeted out that he had received gas masks and he was holding interviews. He was taking interview requests instead of helping the people as the injuries were coming in. His name is Sajul Islam. What do you know about him?
Well, you know, he was actually one of the people who was arrested on terrorism charges for kidnapping two British journalists in Syria. And while they didn't have enough evidence on him and he, because the journalists couldn't testify and he ran back away to Syria, he was actually removed from the medical board because of this incident. And another interesting thing that was happening at the time is one of these, you know, Al-Qaeda-linked journalists posted on his Facebook that tomorrow we're going to begin a campaign about chlorine gas attacks. And then this happens. So, once again, the media is unsure whether it's chlorine or it's sarin.
And just personally, like among my friends, and or let's just generalize, on the left, we are talking about Trump and Putin's collusion, in ending our Contra war, So, quote, Trump is using the attack on Syria to imply that he has blown up his relationship with Putin, unquote. And then I that, of course, is true, but it's true because while false flag dupes cry crocodile tears, our Arab Sting death squads and Daddy Warbucks know that the collusion between Trump and Putin was spelling doom for the child-raping death squads of DIA Flynn's Salafist Principality gringo in the gringas in the cloak and dagger war that drove me down from the mountain paradise where I'd been sort of living very pretty happily to 5300 Port Chicago Highway, and shame on me for not being there with my camera and traffic flag. Well, I did have my camera. I didn't bring my traffic flag because I was going to put that poster up so that I could come back the next week and not be in jail and not be able to film anybody else that wants to take my place standing in the way of the explosives. They have these bright orange things. Now, like you can see that when I was hit by the truck bomb at Greg from Trax at YouTube, it did not have the placard on the front. It was illegally violating California traffic law. That driver needs to lose his license in California because it was on the side. And so the last minute I swing around and I get hit by the thing. I break the bug screen, but back to Syrian girl and the current reason I'm going to be getting...
They took our entire sidewalk out.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have to escape by the back or something.
They can't settle on it, but there's been uncanny, they can't possibly be psychic, you know, indicators that they've been pre-planning this false flag attack, and in fact they've been receiving hazmat suits and gas masks days before the attack happened, so they must have known that they were going to use them. The thing is that with Trump, you know, there was signs that he maybe swayed early on. He talked about safe zones. People convinced him that safe zones were going to stop refugees, basically. But safe zones were, in fact, just another word for no-fly zones. It's just a rehash of that, which in its entirety is the plan to balkanize Syria.
And that's what we saw 4 years ago. We had they were saying we need to ground Syria's air force and so forth and so on. And at the time, if you remember, when we were talking about the false flag aspects, which were identical to this at the time, we were saying we're not going to be Al-Qaeda's air force because we knew that we had ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the White Helmets, whatever. They rebrand them as they wish. As people discover who they are, they come up with a new name. But we knew what was going on there. We had people like Flynn at the time telling us what was going on. It was eventually exposed what they had been trying to do, but they wanted us to essentially be their air force, and the purpose was regime change. And if we're concerned about the deaths that are happening there, and we should all be concerned about that, I mean, people really die. That's That's the issue. It's not that this is a fake incident there. People really died. They died horrific deaths. That's why chemical weapons are banned. So we're not saying that nothing happened. We're not saying that this isn't a horrible situation. What we're saying is that this policy of regime change that's been pushed by people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham is really what is responsible for this. And we need to back off of that aspect of it, and we need to understand the telltale signs. As you're pointing out, you know, the fact that this happens immediately after some significant political events that are happening here, but also the fact that they immediately know who did this without any kind of investigation. They've already got the solution in place, just as we see when there's a mass shooting, and immediately they want to roll out their agenda of gun control. We know that that is a hallmark of a false flag operation, when they immediately start selling their agenda that has been in place. But we have seen this exact pattern 4 years ago. That is what is so distressing about this.
And whoever planned this, you know, perhaps they were also the ones that planned a meeting with Trump and the Jordanian king prior to the chemical attack. So the meeting happened the day after, but the planning for the meeting happened before. And Jordan is a key player, because some are saying that the U.S. wants to, the deep state, in fact, wants to invade through Jordan and balkanize Syria and divide it in that way. And, you know, I hear a lot of people sometimes say, well, what's the problem with balkanization, especially in terms of the Kurdish issue? The Kurds have been receiving very, very positive media from all sides. You never hear anything bad about them. They're supposedly fighting ISIS in the north, and they're hanging out with the U.S. military. The real fact is, however, is that they've been ethnically cleansing the Christian population in the northeast of Syria and Iraq, because they are of the Assyrian ethnicity. And they do not want anyone in their region to be of an ethnicity other than Kurdish. The regions that they're trying to take is filled with oil and agricultural resources, but Kurds are not a majority in those areas. They're...
Well, she's certainly soured on Barzani. That's Erdogan's power junkie. Well, Barzani is Erdogan's tool for the apartheid auxiliary, and the Barzani gang dropped and betrayed the Yazidis. It's not the PKK that got some principles. Okay, I cried when the birdie died. They put a gun in my hand at 5. I cried when the birdie died. So imagine how I'm feeling paying for the death squads exterminating the Yazidis and how much love I got for the PKK that stopped those goddamn shit, medieval shithook child murderers.
Let me get out of here. I'll be back next Tuesday for my head to explode all over the mic again. Berkeley Liberation Radio.info. Don't blame anybody else but me.